There are many topics in which we can launch on this evening regarding being a new creature in Christ. It has to do with our relationship with God, with our brethren, with those who are outside of Christ and the world. We know from studying our scriptures and being disciples of the Lord Jesus that we can gain much and be prepared for the work that needs to be done in the kingdom. For any kingdom to be successful, there must be workers. And we know Jesus is our example. We read in John chapter 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." We think of our brothers and sisters who were here and who have passed away, and the night has came for them when they are no longer here working with us. But we have the opportunity this moment in time to be workers for the Lord. When I was helping with Vacation Bible Schools years ago, one of the sisters in Tennessee said, "You need to teach this one song." It was a song called "We Are Little Workers." And some of the words of that song go as follows. "We are little workers, always brave and strong, working for the master all the whole day long. We are little workers, and we always try day and night to please him, Christ our King on high. Though we are so tiny, we have work to do. That is why we tell it in our song to you." And then it goes on to talk about how we should work, sing and pray, love the Bible. Just a good song to really set the tone of and set the heart on what it should be doing. So speaking of work, we also look in Proverbs chapter 6. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, we read, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." It's just amazing what we can learn just watching nature, and that's one of the things that I noticed even yesterday when I was outside. I saw this ant, rather a large ant, but it was still, in comparison to what the ant was doing, it was pretty amazing. The ant had something in its possession moving it along. It was bigger than the ant. So the ant was busy, and the strength that God gave it was able to do what it was actually needing to do. And that's what we have in Christ. We can do more than we are able by ourselves in Christ. So we go to our Bibles and as disciples of the Lord Jesus, and we want to walk with Jesus through the scriptures. We can only do that by faith, and we want to learn how to serve in his kingdom. Many of our passages we'll be looking at this evening are from the book of Luke, so if you'd like to turn there. In the book of Luke, there's so much. It's a unique book that harmonizes so well with Matthew and Mark and John. The four of them together really are reaching out to all people in all different phases and areas of life. Seems like the book of Luke really stresses the humanity of Jesus, and that he really was compassionate, caring for the weak and the outcast and those who were suffering. So we turn to Luke chapter 7 and look at verse 36 through verse 50. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 50, we have Jesus who has an opportunity to be with someone, and we don't know the heart of this person, but he is a Pharisee. and we see that he has some problems in his heart as we read of how this event took place one day in the life of Jesus. So we read in Luke 7, verse 36, "Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he," that is Jesus, "went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at the feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' So he said, 'Teacher, say it.' There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to pay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her hair, with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." We see the hospitality of this Pharisee was not quite what it should be. And he had a lesson to learn. He gained much more than just his meal. And he was not wise. He apparently was like the ones we read about earlier in the chapter in verse 29 and 30, where it says, "And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God," speaking of hearing Jesus, "even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him." Because you see, the baptism was a baptism of repentance, and they didn't see the need because they looked at others as being sinners and quite differently at themselves. So this woman, with a reputation of being a sinner, she was given so much that day, as she gave so much from the heart, and her emotions were from a pure good heart, apparently, where she would have her sins forgiven by the Lord. She had many sins, but they were all forgiven. And so she loved him very much. So let us think of our relationship with our Father and not be arrogant. Just think about the consequences. If I continue in my sins, how terrible it is to be separated from our Father and His Son, Holy Spirit, because I refused the forgiveness of the Lord and His conditions for it. We also look in Luke chapter 8 of some other women. In chapter 8, verse 1, "Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. So we see that these women were serving, and they were serving out of thankful hearts. They had been healed of the evil spirits and infirmities. And so they're offering these sacrifices of thanksgiving, helping Jesus in his work. He transformed their lives, and we see that in the way that they provided for him from their possessions. Also, we see in another woman in Luke chapter 8, in verse 40 through 56. And here, as we talked about earlier, someone who was suffering, who had an issue of blood. Jesus was there for her, and she was healed. We see in Luke 8 and verse 40, "So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, Peter and those with him and said, 'Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me?' But Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me.' Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said, 'Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace.'" Notice that she said there, or she declared the reason she touched him. She expressed her faith, and she was very bold and courageous in doing that, of course. She was one who we could say was desperate, with only one hope, and that would be Jesus. We also see that this ruler of the synagogue was one who was desperate to have his daughter healed. But while Jesus was speaking, someone came from his house. It says in verse 49 in the report, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all aside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Also realized the urgency that he faced in his life for his young daughter, his only daughter. And he was there for him. And speaking of the healing power of Jesus, we also many times go to Isaiah 53 and read there in verse 5. Speaking of Jesus and what he did for us in the terrible and agonizing day when he suffered on the cross, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." That is why we look to him as the Prince of Peace. We also see in Psalm 147, about the power of Jesus and God to heal the brokenhearted. Psalm 147, Verse 1, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Now we also go into Luke chapter 10 as we continue to walk with Jesus and see how he reveals to us the Father. And here in Luke 10 and verse 21, Jesus, in a period of time, had received some good news about the joy of the 70 who had been sent out. And they were to rejoice because their names were written in heaven. And in that hour, it says in verse 21 of Luke 10, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it has seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. So why did Jesus rejoice in the Spirit and thank his Father in this prayer? Because these disciples were as babes, ready to be molded like clay in the potter's hands, able to receive correction and be established as children of God, to receive that wisdom and grace of God. We see over in Luke chapter 9, verse 46, that even though they were on the right path, they were having problems, and that's part of who we are as disciples. We must be humble and receive correction when we need it. And that's what we see in Luke 9, verse 46. They needed to be corrected on their attitudes of the kingdom. It says, Then a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him by him and said to them, Whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. And for he who is least among you all will be great. Then John says in verse 49, Now John answered and said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow with us. But Jesus said to him, Do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side. Then verse 51, Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they, the Samaritans, did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. So notice what the disciples, James and John, how they responded. In verse 54, And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. It is sad that so many still today want to make Jesus into someone who will come back and destroy the evil ones. And we certainly see Jesus as our Savior, who will come back to receive the kingdom, receive us unto himself, that where we are, where he is, we may be also. Now we look in, continuing in Luke 10, how Jesus teaches us about love and mercy. And in Luke 10, beginning in verse 25, we see there, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise." As we think about this man who was wounded, stripped of his clothing, and left half dead, it reminds us of the spiritual condition of so many in this world, ravaged by sin and evil and corruption through lust. But Jesus is the one. Through Jesus, we try to help those who realize, try to help them realize where they are and where they're headed. We see that this is a doctrine of Christ where we learn about mercy, and that just offering a sacrifice as they did in the Old Testament certainly important, but not to the point of fulfilling what God would have us to do fully. There must be mercy. And we see there that the Good Samaritan exemplifies that. So for us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, to take up our cross and follow Jesus, that is what we must focus upon and be determined to do with the faith that we have. We know that over in Romans chapter 12, much is said there. And in that chapter, full of great doctrine for us, it says in verse 9, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as lies and depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We can do this if we are transformed, as we read earlier in the chapter, and if we are thinking soberly and receive the gifts of God that he provides through the Holy Word and through prayer. We can show mercy with cheerfulness. We also read in Luke chapter 10, of two women, Mary and Martha. At the end of the chapter, we read in verse 38, "Now it happened as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are troubled and worried about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" So we see Martha being upset with her sister Mary. She's distracted with much serving, distracted from what she could be doing and how she could be benefiting from the Lord's word of the Lord. It was a time to set aside the material things and to be spiritually minded. So what will we do this week as disciples of Jesus? Will we be so distracted and consumed by the material things that we will allow those things to choke the word, as we read over in Luke chapter 8, verse 14? "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and the pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." We know we can bear fruit if we abide in the vine as branch that is healthy and vibrant through the love and the power of the gospel. We can bear fruit and be disciples of Christ. Finally, we are going to look at Luke chapter 11. And in this passage, we have Jesus in verse 14. Doing a wonderful work. It says in verse 14 of Luke 11, "And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was, when the demon had gone out, that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, 'He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons.' Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." Very clear and powerful message for us from our Master, that we must be united. We must be citizens of the kingdom and let our king rule. And we must say, "Your will be done." We must teach this, as we know so many believe that division in the religious world, that we can go about saying, "You have your faith and I have mine," and such things as that. These will not stand in the kingdom of God. So we stand for unity, for spiritual doctrine and for love that God has given to us. Jesus was rejected by the Pharisees, the scribes, the experts in the law, because his kingdom is not of this world. And they were the ones who rejected him were of their father, the devil. So we have this time this evening to think about these things and make our lives right as we have the invitation song prepared for us. Is your heart right with God? Is it right? We must answer to God now and not wait till the day of judgment. For we know that the seed of the kingdom is out there, and we must be born of water and the Spirit, that is, to repent and be baptized, to be submitted to the will of God and trust in His power. For we know that, we read on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. We want to be able to confess, as these people did in the first century, that Jesus is the Christ, to be courageous and stand up for Jesus in our lives, to live and let Jesus dwell within our hearts by faith. If you need prayers from the brethren this time and help in any way, we want you to know that we love you and we want to help in any way we can. So let us stand and sing the invitation song at this time.
How thine affections been held to the cross.